Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk.
Well, we're monitoring the White House to see what is the announcement is going to be here in just a minute. It was scheduled for 34 minutes ago. So we will watch and see when the president speaks to get you the latest news on that. I wanted to cover this story. I saw it a couple times in the news in the last 24 hours. And I feel like this is the story that is being under-discussed, under-reported, because it doesn't have a lot of salaciousness to it. It's not political. It's not super urgent, even though I absolutely think it is super urgent. It's just not being treated that way. But phone usage for kids. This is from America Reports a little bit earlier
today. While smartphones may be very popular, even addicting among young kids, they don't come without major health risks. A new medical study links cell phone use to increased rates of depression and obesity among our youth. Joining us now is Dr. Mark Siegel, Fox News senior medical analyst and author of the new book, The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. Doc, great to see you this Wednesday afternoon. So as parents, we talk in parent groups a lot about this, that there is an age at which kids are not ready for smartphones. And this study would seem to back up that notion.
So we're going to hear from Dr. Siegel here in a second. But I think that one of the issues on this subject that I am so, the reason why I'm so adamant and passionate about it, and I am so much more restrictive for my kids than most parents. Now, my kids do have, my older two do have phones. My 9-year-old has access to a phone at home that has Facebook Messenger on it, and she mostly messages her grandparents on it. So it's a way for her to communicate. I tell her that she can send friends to, she has some of her classmates are on there, and I tell her she can send messages to them, but anything that she sends, I want to see, or she has to get approved by my husband, me, or her brother or sister, just to make sure that it's not happening. A 9-year-old doesn't know what they're doing. And they have to learn. So I do believe in kids incrementally learning these skills socially. But the drawbacks of phone usages, you know, we used the phone when we were kids. Did you ever have long phone conversations when you were in high school, grade school?
Probably once or twice with some girl that I maybe liked, but not much. Once in a great while, maybe.
Was it your grandma?
I liked my grandma. We wouldn't talk at length on the phone.
I can't imagine you having a junior high conversation with some random girl.
I don't know
girl.
That it was junior high. It probably was a little older than that.
When you would sit on the phone and talk forever about nothing? Like, sometimes you wouldn't even talk. You were just on the phone together.
I didn't do that a lot, no.
What about you, Brad?
Not really. I never had the... I didn't have a cell phone until I was out of high school.
No, I'm talking about like from your house phone.
From my house phone, no.
The phone that I was talking on was corded into the kitchen, and I would put the cord under the door and lay in my parents' bedroom and talk on the phone for hours.
No, I didn't have people to call to talk to for that long because I wasn't really sure what to call and talk to them about, even if it was nothing. And then the other side of that was, too, my parents ran their trucking company out of our house, and I could not occupy the phone line for that long because I would get in trouble.
Call waiting, man.
I think I was always afraid.
You know the phrase? I got a beep.
Yeah.
Remember that phrase?
Yeah.
I got a beep?
I get a beep. That's another call coming in, right?
Yeah.
That's what that meant.
Did you ever have two people want to talk to you at the same time?
Not usually, no. My grandma, my aunt. Oh, hang on.
All your favorite ladies, not your mom?
Hang on, Aunt Janie's calling.
Lovely ladies.
Right.
I mean, I would sit on the phone. I think girls do this with each other, obviously, more than guys do. But my friend Aaron, man, we would, in junior high, seventh and eighth grade, he and I would sit on the phone. We were friends. I mean, we were just friends. But we would sit on the phone. We could talk for 3 hours.
Wow.
I don't know what we would talk about. Like, I don't, stupid stuff, I guess.
I was always afraid of talking on the phone because it was a gremlin's phone and the eyes lit up.
See, is that a real story?
No, it's a good joke, though.
Such a dork.
I don't know that it was a good joke.
I think it was. Ethan?
It sucked!
So anyway, when you talk about kids having a phone, I grew up using the phone a lot. But it was a phone. It was a device that you talked. It was like a walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was a connection, a social life connection. You know, we'd be on there and, you know, every once in a while I'd be like, Annie, get off the phone. And so you'd finally have to hang up the phone and complain about it or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Ugh, my parents want to use the phone for the first time in 3 hours.
It's not like they pay the bill. So they, you know, the kids our age absolutely used phones. But when you talk about kids using phones, I wish they wouldn't call them phones because they're basically internet devices. Social media and internet. That's what you're putting in the hand of a kid. Now, if there was some sort of way to get the parents of middle school kids to all lock together and say, okay, let's do the phone thing, text messaging and phone calls, and make these kids talk to each other once again, I would be way in favor of that. But all it takes is one kid who has all of the things, and then it just diminishes for all the other kids because they all feel left out. I respect that my kids, when I have conversations with my kids and they're like, well, all the other kids talk on Snapchat, I'm like, I am really sorry. I really, truly feel bad that you're not able to communicate with them there. But it's not negotiable. There's no Snapchat. And my son's 15. And he doesn't have Snapchat. And he's told me before, he's like, I'm actually kind of glad I don't have it. He has other ways to communicate, but he has to engage those other ways to communicate because at least for a portion of his grade school, that was where everybody talked on Snapchat. Well, he had a baseball team. Everybody talked on Snapchat and he just didn't have it. And he was left out. And I was conflicted as a mom of what I'm supposed to do. And just over and over and over again, I'm confronted with stories of no Snapchat. Here's more from Dr. Siegel on this story. Let's listen.
You know, what's unusual about this study is it only looks at one thing. Do you have a smartphone or don't you? Not what you do with it, because we've looked at that before, mm-hmm. that you get bullied or that you don't play with others. But this study looked at just owning one. And 67% of kids up to the age of 12 already have one. And this study looked at those who had one and those who didn't. It was from Penn University, Children's Hospital Philadelphia, Berkeley, and Columbia. And they looked at 10,000 kids who had or didn't, and those who didn't have a phone slept better, were less depressed, and weighed better. Their weight was better. If you had a phone up to the age of 12, then you were more likely to be depressed, obese, anxious, and not sleep well. Now, here's what's really interesting, John. Mm-hmm. Those who got a cell phone at the age of 12, once they got one, depression went up, obesity went up, and sleeping went down. So it clearly shows, I like this study a lot because it shows the impact of giving a 12-year-old a cell phone. It is not good for them.
So you have Dr. Siegel there talking about the impacts, you know, these studies that are showing the direct impact of just the device, even. You either have a smartphone or you don't. As he said there, it doesn't matter exactly what you're doing with it. There are a lot of parents. I get messages from parents. I probably will get them on the Facebook page again today that are like, thank you for talking about this because I've been holding out with my kid and they think that I'm the worst person on the face of the planet. And I it's unfortunate, but you're the only person on the face of the planet that's going to love your kid enough to take those arrows from them to protect them from what they're going to be exposed to. I guarantee you what they're going to be exposed to if you give them that device.
Well, it's interesting because what Dr. Siegel is saying there is a different angle, because we talk about And the obvious angle is we're protecting them from things that could come inward through the phone. People that are malicious coming toward them, things they shouldn't see, all that stuff. But what he's saying is actually, even if they're just using it for normal reasons and nothing's getting through, it's bad for their mental health overall. It's bad for the sleep, bad for the eating habits, bad for their anxiety. And that's not talked about.
Yeah. And I feel like parents feel like they're put in a position where they don't have a choice. It's like you absolutely do have a choice. And the most important decisions that you make as a parent are going to be the most difficult choices you have to make.
I'll tell you where we've gotten caught, where we almost don't have a choice, is that some of these things, not with social media, not with having a phone, that is different. But they do have iPads now. They're 11 years old and they have iPads. Because some of their classwork has to happen online. Not e-learning. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about COVID era stuff. I'm talking about programs that teach them math. Programs that teach them their subject.
Yeah.
And they're good at it. I don't really have a problem with it.
The device in and of itself is not the bad thing. It's like the gun in and of itself is not the bad thing. It's how you use it, where you go with it, what you choose to do with it, how you choose to exercise the said thing.
So we've crossed that now where I'm having to deal with, oh, you're on your iPad all the time, but you're actually doing work and you're learning, and there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but all this protection I've had of you up until you're now 11 and you're in sixth grade of just even screen time is now kind of out the window because there's no other option. You have to do it.
And the other thing, too, that you have to think about, and you're getting there where like every minute that passes, your life is about to go into high speed with junior high and then high school. Is just you definitely, as a parent, feel in high school like I have lost the strong grip on the reins and I'm supposed to.
Yeah.
To an extent. Like, the quicker that, you know, my son is the one in high school, my daughter will be there next year as well. Like, the quicker that I can loosen the reins because they've got it, the better for my kid. I've been watching. Do you guys like Jordan Peterson?
Oh, yeah.
I like him in theory. I just don't watch him a lot.
Well, I've been watching a lot of his stuff lately because he says these things. He's like, there's the phrase that says you can be your kids' friends or you can be your adult kids' friends, but you can't be both. And if you invest in being a friend to your child, you will not like them and they will not like you when they are adults. And that's a really tough thing to remember, but it's really important that you are like all your purpose is to serve as barriers, boundaries, and the truth that kids actually want boundaries. They can thrive in boundaries. When you take away all the fences and they can roam wherever they want, then it's very hard for them to understand their footing and to get their footing. And while they're small, while they're young, while they're inexperienced, they need to be able to make safe mistakes. And you got to continue to move those boundaries out as they get older so that the mistakes that they make, you know, if they've got the insulated center of that circle on lock and, you know, they understand personal hygiene and general nutrition and how to do these things so that when they, you might help them get up in the morning, maybe you don't, you might help them get up in the morning, but they get ready for a school and they understand we got to be out the door by 7 a.m. or whatever it might be. But then you start loosening the reins on other things and they're going to make mistakes. Mistakes are okay. It's how you learn. If you don't let them make mistakes, then they will never learn. They will learn that their parents will help keep them from every mistake that they're going to make. The mistakes that you can make on a phone are so catastrophic. And it's different than what we grew up experiencing in the 80s and the 90s, even in the early 2000s. Like, think about the first really smartphone that you had.
2014.
Yeah?
I waited that long.
What about you, Brad?
Oh, man, I think it was like, I think it was probably 2015, 2016 even. iPhone 4.
I was a BlackBerry user, probably out of my Nokia days, into BlackBerry. I think I had an Evo of something. I don't know what that was. But I used BlackBerries for maybe 2 cycles of phones, and then I got into the Samsung Galaxy phones, which I've had. I think the first Galaxy I had was an S2, and I got a 24 now. But even when we first started getting the phones, it was like BlackBerries. Did BlackBerry? Maybe you could get Facebook on a BlackBerry, but navigating it was so impossible. You're like, why even bother?
Yeah, the first one I got, I was late to the game too. I just didn't have any apps on it, so I didn't use it for much. Yeah. I knew it could get on the internet.
The nicest thing about a BlackBerry was that it had a keyboard on it, so you could like type things and not have to do the T9.
Yeah.
222.
Oh, that's crazy.
C.
Uh-huh.
You could talk in code among millennials writing out the T9 version of how to leave messages. The stakes are so high, and parents... Like the other thing here, and this is a really key point as well, though, you're probably raising really good kids. Your kids are probably rooted in faith or in moral principle. You know your kids know right from wrong. They make mistakes. They screw up. They cop an attitude every once in a while. They're always testing their boundaries, but you're comfortable with that. You have good kids. You want to trust your kids. You cannot trust the world in the palm of your child's hands when they don't know what's out there. And if they get exposed to what's out there because of a social media app, because of a TikTok video, mental health among youth. I mean, you could go on TikTok right now, or I don't know about Instagram as much. I don't use Instagram. I don't use TikTok either, but I've had a couple kids show me some things here lately that I'm connected to. And it's just like, it is such a sad thing to see such young children feeling publicly so much disregard for themselves. And there's so little self-esteem, or there's so much self-esteem that they're putting this out there in a world that they don't understand how big and the magnitude of who they're talking to. And they're saying these really big statements, these really consequential things publicly for the whole world to consume without any sense of actual repercussions of what they're saying. And then the dopamine hit of like, I put the video out and I got this many likes. Now I need to put another video out and I need to take, you know, maybe it's the sexualization of a young kid. They do something that's a little provocative and then that gets some reaction. So you do something else that's a little provocative, then something else that's a little provocative. And before you know it, you're 18 with an OnlyFans, because that was the natural progression. You never would have thought at the beginning that that's where it would have ended, but it's a natural progression of things. And we've mainstreamed it. We've made it seem okay. So who the heck is going to stop your kids from mainstreaming themselves into some sort of digital world that's not reality if you don't stop them from doing it? If you're not willing to say, no, we're not going to do this, and this is why. It's not because I don't trust you. I trust you. You're my child. I love you. It's because I don't trust them. And they're all out there trying to get you. They're trying to monetize you. We need more parents. You don't have to take, you know, I'm not saying at all that I'm doing it right. I'm making it up as I go with my husband. We're just doing our best. He's a middle school teacher, so he sees a lot of what goes on in middle school with social media and with communications and phones and how addicted kids are. But man, we have got to do something about where this is taking. We're going to have a whole generation of kids who are so socially abnormal. You know, how are the kids right now, Generation Alpha, I think it is, how are they going to parent their kids when it comes to devices and social media? That's my main curiosity. Be strong. If you're the bad guy, maybe that's the point. Somebody's got to be the bad guy so the bad things don't happen. We're continuing to monitor the White House. We'll find out what the president is going to announce here when he actually makes the announcement. When we come back, Ethan's sports and local. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a great song. Have you heard this before? did you change it?
No.
We on Cranberries today?
That's what I was literally about to bring up. Is I was like, I must have already played because I knew I had it in the list today.
No.
I
pulled Cranberries out of my
That's so funny.
1990s favorite. Vault. Yes.
This is the only Cranberry song we have in there.
No, we have Linger in there somewhere, don't we? Do you have to?
Did anybody else, when that song came out, their friends all say, that song's about a fart? Did anybody else do that? Or is that just us?
No. And I refuse to let you ruin that song for me after 30 years.
It's a beautiful song.
It was.
Yeah, you'll think about that from now on.
I totally
Ethan, take
going
over.
To.
Hold up. Check it out.
Ethan's saucy soiree.
Okay. You did one yesterday that we'd never heard before.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
There was a news bed under it.
Oh, that one. No, we played that one time.
Nobody here has heard it. Do you do this segment when we're all out?
It's been played. I don't remember when.
We disagree. We need a date and time.
Well, I can tell you what has played.
I don't have that kind of time.
What I can tell you has played more than any other one is Ethan's saucy soiree. Why is that, Ryan?
I don't know. I guess you're saucy and you have a soiree.
A little projection.
I have great news for you all.
Okay.
Reason. Saucy?
You could argue it's saucy. It's reason to celebrate because, if you're looking for a city filled with excitement, a new study is suggesting
Troy, Illinois,
that St. Louis may be a preferred destination for you.
Oh, that's kind of sad for Troy.
What do you get out of it? Yeah, Troy was like, oh.
What kind of excitement?
Wallet Hub recently published a study that places St. Louis among the most fun cities in the United States of America.
Where does Jarvis Township rank?
I don't know, Ryan. The rankings consider several key factors, including entertainment, nightlife, and costs. Wallet Hub ranks St. Louis 13th out of more than 180 cities around the country, including 150 of the most populated cities. The list placed the Gateway City 18th in entertainment, 18th in nightlife, and 13th in cost, and that gives the city an overall score of 52.2. So we are 13th out of 180, but we still get an F. That makes sense.
For fun?
According to Wallet Hub, how about I let you guys guess? What do you guys think was ranked as the most fun city in America?
Denver, Colorado.
Miami.
Brad?
Dallas.
Dallas.
Austin.
No to Dallas, no to Austin. Miami is third on the list. And what did you say, Denver?
Denver. It's probably too expensive, though.
No, Denver is not on the list. Las Vegas is number one.
I was going to say Vegas, but then I thought that it's way too expensive.
Too much money.
Followed by Orlando, then Miami, Atlanta coming in at fourth, New Orleans, and Houston. So you had a couple of Texas cities, but... Not Houston. The least fun cities, this kind of surprised me, according to this list. Anyone ever heard of Yonkers, New York?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard of Yonkers. People get lost there.
Makes me go bonkers. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Lewiston, Maine, and Pearl City, Hawaii, among the least fun cities.
Pearl City, that's where Pearl Harbor
to the
is.
List.
Yeah.
I guess it is.
I was just there.
Kind of weighs you down,
maybe. It probably wasn't very fun.
Well, it was Pearl Harbor. I mean, that's why I was there.
Oh, naturally.
I would rather be in Pearl City, Hawaii than...
But the people at Wallet Hub, when they walk up to people at Pearl Harbor, they're like, you having fun? And they're like, no. Mm. So it doesn't
But
rank.
If you are going for full fun, you're saying, you know, St. Louis is a better option than Pearl
I'd
City, Hawaii.
I'd rather be in Pearl City, Hawaii.
No.
Well, no, you'd
not
be having more
Wallet
fun
Hub,
in St. Louis.
Well, what do I know?
Just saying.
Is their zoo free? I chuckle at the idea.
One more story?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Let's go ahead. Yeah, we'll do this one. This is kind of a feel-good story. St. Louis County Animal Care and Control is now trying something that it has never been able to do until now. It is waiving adoption fees. It's the first event approved under the county's new ordinance, which was initially met with backlash from the overcrowded shelter. 2 months after adoption fees doubled in limits were placed on fee-waived events, St. Louis County's shelter...
Did you say this is pets?
Yes.
Okay.
Is fine... Yes. Okay. I was like, what other things get adopted? I was like,
children.
Oh, people. Right.
Yes.
St. Louis County's shelter is finally putting that new law to work. For the first time, they can drop the adoption fees completely.
I want so desperately for the Trump administration to... go all in on helping fund adoption of humans for families.
It wasn't long.
Surge the adoption industry. Let it be privatized so that the children are actually cared for. And just go all in on that. It's the pro-life message that is not big enough right now.
Wasn't there a meeting in the Oval Office, or they had some sort of meeting not that long ago regarding it, right?
Yeah. They have talked about it, but it just needs to be... I mean, there's a million things that they're doing right now,
sure.
Certainly. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to cover what's going on at the White House right now. They're making a fuel announcement on trying to make, I guess, it more affordable. Although, right now, I think you can buy gas for under $2.50 in some places in Missouri. Stick around. We'll be right back. It's not my
family. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm interrupting the song. Turn it off. I hate it so bad.
Get it out of here.
Get it out of here, Ethan.
Get it out.
You were doing so well. So well.
Let's do Mary's Boy Child again.
Just all show.
Not that stupid song.
The whole show. Is that cynical?
Yeah. Boos.
Boo. Oh. Let's listen to the president. He is speaking from the Oval Office right now and making an announcement on, I guess, fuel standards and making cars more affordable. From the Oval Office, President
Hello,
Trump.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much. You all set? Well, we're talking about CAFE standards, a very big deal, very important. Today, my administration is taking historic action to lower costs for American consumers, protect American auto jobs, and make buying a car much more affordable for countless American families and also safer. We're officially terminating Joe Biden's ridiculously burdensome, horrible, actually, CAFE standards that imposed expensive restrictions and all sorts of problems, gave all sorts of problems to automakers. And we're not only talking about here, we're talking about outside of our country, because nobody could do it. Nobody wanted to do it, and it was ridiculous, very expensive. It put tremendous upward pressure on car prices. Combined with the insane electric vehicle mandate, Biden's burdensome regulations helped cause the price of cars to soar more than 25%. And in one case, they went up 18% in 1 year. Today, we're taking one more step to kill the Green New Scam. It's part of the greatest scam, probably, well, other than Russia, and a few others I could name. The greatest scam in American history, the Green New Scam. And it's a quest to end the gasoline-powered car. This is what they wanted to do, even though we have more gasoline than any other country by far. And people want the gasoline car. They want everything. They want electric. They want any. They want to have lots of alternatives, but they do want the gasoline car. Right now, it's leading away by a lot. The car business is a very interesting business, but we want to keep it that way. I want to thank Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, Deputy Transportation Secretary Stephen Bradbury, as well as CEO of Ford, Jim Farley. Jim, where is Jim? Hi, Jim. Congratulations. You're doing a great job. CEO of Stellantis, Antonio Filosa. Thank you very much, Antonio. Chairman of the National Automobile Dealers Association, Tom Castridov.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Tom. Great to have you. And manager of General Motors Orient Plant, John Urbanek.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Great to have you guys here. And you're going to say a few words in a minute about how ridiculous this was, but we've just freed you up. So you're going to have a good day. You're going to have a good number of years. Thanks as well to Senator Shelley Moore Capito, Ted Cruz, Kevin Cramer, Marsha Blackburn, Eric Schmidt, and Bernie Marino, as well as Representative Sam Graves, Vern Buchanan, Mike Kelly, Roger Williams, Lisa McClain, and Troy Balderson. All great people. These are great people. And I know there's a lot of support long beyond the people that are here. We had tremendous support on this. From day one, I've been taking action to make buying a car more affordable. I signed an executive order to end the unfair, expensive electric vehicle mandate. As you know, we had to have an electric car within a very short period of time, even though there was no way of charging them and lots of other things. It would have cost $5 trillion to build the charging plants. And as you know, in certain parts of the Midwest, they spent, to build 9 chargers, they spent $8 billion. So that wasn't working out too well. That was done before me, by the way. I wouldn't have let it go forward. We're canceling the EPA's absurd tailpipe emission standards, one of the most important things that I've never had a group of people come to me more powerfully and really just devastated that they had to do it. It was killing them than the automobile manufacturers, the tailpipe emission standards. And I can tell you, your people at Ford were coming to me all the time and they were saying, like, please, it doesn't do anything and it's killing us. And it's driving the cost through the roof. And we revoked Biden's emissions waiver for California so that California communists could not regulate the automobile industry and ruin the entire nation of automobiles. And they were doing that, too. But we have that now under control also with your governor, who's got much more than he can control. Now, under the new rules being issued today by Secretary Duffy, the Department of Transportation will rescind the Biden fuel economy prices. And I hate to say that because they were really not economy. They were really anti-economy. They were horrible, what they were doing to the costs and actually making the car much worse. But these policies forced automakers to build cars using expensive technologies that drove up costs, drove up prices, and made the car much worse. The action is expected to save the typical consumer at least $1,000 off the price of a new car, and we think substantially more than that. Under the Trump administration, $70 billion are now being invested in the American auto industry. Ford has announced it will invest $5 billion across its Kentucky and Michigan plants. Is that a correct statement?
That's right.
That's a lot, $5 billion. You could do more. Creating at least 4,000 new jobs. Stellantis announced it will invest $13 billion to expand its U.S.-based manufacturing by more than 50% and open new manufacturing facilities across the country. And I think a big part of that is also the tariffs. Because of tariffs, they're coming in. Not only the automobile industry, AI, we're leading China in AI, we're leading everybody in AI, we're leading everybody and everything. We have the hottest country right now. I will tell you, a lot of political people behind me, great political people, very successful political people. We have the hottest country anywhere in the world. 1 year ago, we had a dead country, and now we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. And it started from November 5th, but it also started when we did the tariffs, and we've had tremendous support on the tariffs. It's bringing in trillions of dollars of wealth. It's bringing in national security. And I've stopped 8 wars, and of the 8 wars, 5 of them have been because of tariffs and trade. So they're very important. And General Motors plans to invest $4 billion as it brings its manufacturing back to the United States from Mexico. After falling by 5% under Biden, U.S. auto production has surged by 10% so far this year. You know, I won the auto workers' vote, but now even the head of the auto workers said Trump is the greatest president we've ever seen. And he happens to be right about that. But we're protecting our auto workers, and we're making it easier for every family to afford high-quality cars. In other words, we're bringing automobiles back and the manufacturing of automobiles back into this country. We lost 52% over the years, 52% of our automobile manufacturing. You see it, closed factories all over the place. Now they're all opening up. They're being, in most cases, they're being knocked down, and new ones are being built in their place. And a big beneficiary is the state of Michigan, but South Carolina, even states that didn't really do too much with the automobiles, they're opening up plants. It's been amazing.
So the president speaking from the White House there and talking about a reset of federal fuel standards, according to Fox News, that heightened under the Biden administration. The White House says will save $109 billion in total for American families. The Ford CEO, Jim Farley, says, no, don't start playing the music. I forgot what the song was. Just we were there for a second. We're going to get in and out of
she says, okay, we'll go to break. Just hit it for one
pop
second.
It up,
yeah, just go to break. I'm just going to start talking about Home Shield here in just a second. And then we're going to have a conversation with Mr. Ethan. The Ford CEO, Jim Farley, says, quote, we can make real progress on carbon emissions and energy efficiency while still giving customers choice and affordability. Oh, gosh. I'm not done with the Ford CEO. This is a win for customers and common sense. Unlike the song.
Yeah.
Did he make this and think this was a good idea?
I think he was just doing a live song. And for whatever reason, somebody grabbed it and goes, we should play that every year.
No, we shouldn't. No, we should not. Ethan, shame on you. Look how proud he is of himself.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew. Yes. He chastised us in our private chat.
You gave me this power.
Oh, I'm about to take it back. All right, Bruce. I'll be right back.
You better not cry. You better not bow. I'm telling you why.
Why does he sound like he's in pain?
Come on, hurry up and start talking.
Yeah, sing it, Bruce. That's why they call you the boss.
Did you hear the faux vibrato there? He's got someone behind him taking him on his shoulder so he can get that out. All right, knock it off. Matt.
And Blitzen, what do you recall? The most famous reindeer of all.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him
names. Is this the last segment of the show?
Yeah.
They never let
you good.
Poor Rudolph.
Just let this play and then you can kind of go to the poll results.
Do you know how different it is for me to do the show when you're here and when you're not here?
I don't, because I'm never here when I'm not here.
It's true.
Exactly.
The fun that you have when I'm here versus the fun you have when I'm not here.
Okay.
Isn't it an entirely different mental
Yes.
Place.
The fun that I have when you're not here.
It's predicated by my absence.
It's actually, I'll be honest with you, it is less fun because then I have to host and I can't just derail everything constantly, which is the most fun thing I do, is just try to get you off your game a little bit here and there.
Glad
and
to be
everywhere.
Back?
Oh, yeah. It's fun. I'll never leave.
Like a cockroach.
Me and Twinkies.
Nuclear Winter and Ryan Wiggins. You and Twinkies. That tracks, man. Uh-huh. That's right. It's oatmeal cream pies, but I bet they last just as long.
Science will tell us.
I want to put a call out to our listeners. I talked about this yesterday. Yesterday was Giving Tuesday. We talked to Amy with the Lutheran Elementary School Association yesterday. If you're looking to give this holiday season, if you are looking to make a donation to help your tax position by the end of the year, please consider donating to the Lutheran Elementary School Association, to the Annie Fry Show Scholarship, which is something we're going to continue to work on building so we can continue to bless St. Louis bi-state area kids in Lutheran education. But I wanted to also talk about Cyber Monday, and I want people to send us gift ideas that we should give each other. I want people to help us shop for each other for Christmas.
Like, that sounds fun.
Be reasonable. Like, you could be thoughtful about it, or you can do what Ryan would do normally.
I've already bought half of you guys' gifts, so they better be really thoughtful. They better be perfect.
Root beer?
No root beer for you. Not after the reaction last time. Root beer's off
drink,
your list.
I don't
forever.
Drink it.
Ever. Yeah, because you're so ungrateful.
No, you got me a case of sugared soda. I haven't had a sugared soda in maybe decades.
That's your fault.
It's also
much
my prerogative.
Joy. There's so much joy in it, and there was so much love in the gift and thoughtfulness that I thought maybe you would start drinking soda again.
The absolute best thing about that gift was Brad giving me the White House press pass first.
You know how many people mentioned that to me for a long time afterward? Actually, one guy...
How does that conversation go?
He's great. He's my mechanic in Collinsville. And I've been going to him for years, and he just learned that I was on the show, you know, right after that. And he goes, I can't believe I've talked to you for so long. And he goes, man, I was listening the other day, and you wouldn't believe what Brad did. And I'm like, oh, yeah, tell me, because I was there, but I'd love to hear what your interpretation of them was. And he goes, Brad, right after they give her a whole press kit, Brad goes and gives her a case of root beer like a dummy. I was like, oh, yeah, that was definitely
what
Brad.
What a dummy.
And not me. And I never corrected him.
You just let it fly?
I did. Because I wanted to be in his good graces, because he is my mechanic, and I want him to think highly of me.
I have a gift for you. It's not the whole gift. I do have a gift for you. I saw it. Somebody else had it, and I'm like, I think Ryan would enjoy that, so I bought that.
Is it a puppet?
It's a toy. But I know what I'm going to get the rest of you guys. I just haven't acquired it yet. But I think it'd be fun to have some suggestions from you folks, especially while Amazon has all the most ridiculous things you've ever even thought of on sale. I want your suggestions. You can message the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. You can tweet at us at Annie Fry Show, at Radio Wiggins, at Range Brad, at Echan7. Don't tweet him.
Yeah, don't talk to him.
Bad music.
Dead person.
No. No. Only sometimes.
He's not listening right now because he's doing Mark Rudin's show.
Priorities.
Yeah.
The YouTube live chat poll, how do you feel about the Trump administration's area focus, Ryan? Just right, too much foreign policy, too much domestic policy, or you have TDS?
I'm going to say I have TDS.
I'm going to tell you what, I looked before and TDS was not in last place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny way to say that one. I'm going to say too much foreign policy, just in focus. I don't really mind anything he's doing.
Brad?
I think it's just right.
I want to say too much foreign policy, but I think it's just right. I think that they are walking and chewing gum at the same time, so whatever gets in the press gets in the press. All right, in last place, too much domestic policy, 1%. I have TDS, 5%. Too much foreign policy, like you said, Ryan, 15%, and 80% of you folks think it is just right. We appreciate you listening today. A reminder, you can go to AnnieFryShow.com and listen to podcasts. You can also go to the Odyssey app and subscribe to 97.1 FM Talk there and stream the station anywhere you go, anytime, any Fry Show podcast there as well. Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.